Happy Thanksgiving, one and all, and welcome in. It is time for episode number 69 of Three Guys Before the Game. This is the Oklahoma Preview. Welcome in, everybody, and a very happy, warm Thanksgiving to you. Hopefully, you'll be with the people that you love, eating the food that you love, watching the football team that you love post a massive weekend victory. Tony Caridi along with the Senator, Brad Howe. He's got his deer camp beard growing. And the Dean, Hoppy Kirchival, who looks absolutely beautiful in that shirt that fine-looking Phil from over at Daniels sent his way. I tell you
what. It's all about pride. State pride.
That's what it is. You look good in it, huh?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil.
He probably needs more of those, Brad.
Probably needs more. Well, you can get 30% off if he heads over there to Daniels. Part of their Black Friday sale, part of their Three Guys Before the Game podcast. Just say you listen to the podcast and you get 30% off at Daniels.
Yeah, people are going to be coming in this weekend. So if you are coming into the game, you want to see fine-looking Phil, and he does always look fine, just stop by and say, I listen to Three Guys Before the Game. And you'll get 30% off all their WVU apparel. So here we go. West Virginia, Oklahoma. It has the makings. Kind of like, you know, you go to the store, you get your Thanksgiving food, like you have all the ingredients there, and you say, these are the makings of what could be one of the all-time greatest meals if I put them together properly. But if you don't put them together properly, it could be an unforgettable mess.
And you're also being asked to put the ingredients together with one arm tied behind your back.
What do you mean by that?
Because this is a one heck of an Oklahoma team that's coming in here. This isn't like it's a giant opportunity in front of you and there's a bad team coming. This is a really good Oklahoma team, at least on one side of the ball, a very good Oklahoma team.
They're so good on offense, they still are a great team. Think about that. They could have the worst defense statistically, right, in the loop, in the Big 12. They could finish like right at the bottom, but at the same time go down as a great team.
Tony,
go ahead. Sure.
Offensively, they're a freak show. I mean, they have so much skill. They lose Anderson early on as a running back. Another guy comes in. They lose him. Another guy comes in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's running the ball. I was watching tape on them, and you look at the receivers, and I thought, I got to get to know their receivers. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who they are. They're all good. They have a great offensive line. They have an outstanding fullback. They give you a ton of formations. You know, Brad, we'll look at these numbers, and it's not just about that they're the best in these categories. It's by how much they are the best in these categories. It's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Here's, I think, what the scary thing is. That's all right, what you just said, of course. And then add on top of that a quarterback that I think is more dangerous than last year's Heisman Trophy winner in Baker Mayfield because of the number of things he can do, especially with his feet, guys. I mean, West Virginia's defense can have him surrounded and be in position, and he's liable to bust it off for 9 yards. I mean, he's a real challenge. Add to that Lincoln Riley, and I know you've heard, if you pay any attention at all, how he's an offensive genius. He sets up formations. There's NFL teams that have been visiting to watch how he does that. And if you go back and watch tape, as you just said you did, you probably saw this. It is staggering to me how often he's able to get formations in movement to allow those playmakers to get the ball in space. And I know that's a cliche you hear all the time, but when you watch Oklahoma, Tony, I can't tell you how many times I've done that this year, watching Oklahoma's offense in different games, where I've hit pause and looked at the screen and said, there's no defender there. There is no defender in the screen right now against Oklahoma. And that's not against bad defenses. That's just the way their crossing routes go, their formations, the way they confuse you. It's unbelievable. It's not just execution. It's also play setup impressive.
It is. And the formation, they give you all these formations. And here's an example of that, Brad. It was, I don't know who they were playing, but they're inside the 10. And they put formation to the boundary. And on the wide side, on the field side, they put a guy in motion coming back to the boundary. So there's one receiver out there to the field, and they're inside the 10, and the ball is snapped to Kyler Murray. Now, what do you think happens? The official, just don't even run a play. Just signal touchdown. Just signal touchdown because Kyler Murray is going to run to the field, and there's going to be one guy there that's going to be frozen because he can't tackle him, and he runs in the end zone. You cannot stop that.
But there was another play. They did the same exact thing, did the same exact run. There's one defender out there, and the defender starts to break towards Kyler Murray, so he throws it to the receiver.
Yeah, so just signal touchdown. Just signal, that's all I got to do.
Why are you frowning and scoffing over our assessment of an offense that without Kyler Murray is averaging close to 60 points a game against these Mountaineers the last 2 years? Why are you scoffing?
I think that it is more personnel driven than it is the schematics. Because if it was, this game's been played too long for someone to make Lincoln Riley all of a sudden, he's Yoda, and he's figured out a way to have guys line up in different positions to be gapingly open.
Just go with it.
I think that it's a combination of, yeah, he does a really nice job of getting guys in isolation, but those Jimmys and those Joes, they're NFL players.
Well, there's no doubt. I didn't say it was one versus the other. Yeah. I said add on to what he just said. Yeah, he does both of those. Because there's other offenses nationally that have great offenses and skill guys, and they don't have the gaps and the space that this Oklahoma team does.
And think about what you're saying. So why do they have so much gap in space? One of the reasons is because of the fear that that quarterback could pocket out any time that he wants. That also makes defenses, as you know, they're just on roller skates the entire time, worried, where if it was just some big old dude back there that couldn't move, then...
Like Taylor Cornelius?
Yeah, they wouldn't have to play as honestly that way.
You know what? It's amazing when you watch them. The field looks really big.
It does. Right, that's what I'm saying to you. It looks different. Their offense looks different.
It looks like there's all this space.
Right.
And a guy gets in space, and they don't need much room. And Kyler Murray, I know we're talking a lot about him, but I think he is – first of all, I think he should win the Heisman. I think he deserves it more than Tua with the way he's playing right now, and Tua's been hurt. But one, he has escapability. Two, he can pass the ball to freaks. Three, if he decides to run the draw, then it's a run play and you can't catch him. Four, he can get to the edge. Five, he can scramble. I mean, he has got so much skill, you just can't account for him. So what you need, I know you're going to transition here, you're going to need some help. You're going to need to him.
What do you need? Food poisoning? What?
No, you need
him. Yeah, that would help.
Well, you need him to throw it to you a time or two. You need him to turn the ball over. You need a holding call at the right time. You need a special teams play by West Virginia. You're going to need some help.
You didn't even mention their offensive line, which is like
five
Belgian plow horses.
And you know what they do? And they run that play, which a lot of people run, is when they run, they'll pull the guard and the tackle, okay? And they'll go the other way. That creates gaps. Their fullback is 6'5", 250 pounds. He can also catch the ball, or he can provide max protect for the quarterback. They are really good.
Let me give you two stats on that offensive line that back up, other than just saying they're really good, which they are. I mean, you're going to see that early. It is really hard to get penetration. They run the ball 57% of the time, first of all. And we didn't mention that in their arsenal. Part of why they have so much success in space throwing it is because they play action on almost every play. And when they've been running it 57% of the time at you, you have to account for that. So here's some just offensive line stats. Their opportunity rate, which means the percentage of carries when 4 yards are available that gain 4 yards. You follow me there?
Yes.
The percentage of time they convert on that is second nationally. So when they need just 4 yards, the percentage of time that they get four or more is second nationally. Really good. Here's another one. They're 17th nationally in stuff rate. That's the percentage of runs that are stopped behind or at the line of scrimmage. So it's really hard to get them in situations where you're making them go backwards. And that's been one of West Virginia's skills against these lesser offenses, is getting all these tackles for loss. Against Oklahoma, that's going to be really hard to do.
But they're averaging 8.8 yards a play. And over the last 2 years against West Virginia, or maybe this last year, they averaged 12 yards a play against West Virginia. 8.8 yards a play. That's a crazy number.
So you think I should just call the game?
Probably.
Tell them to stay back in Norman?
Probably.
What we're doing is put up a big white flag
and just say, hey.
No, just providing context for this Oklahoma team, which is amazing. They really are offensively amazing.
I'll give you some numbers, since we're into numbers here. National. These aren't not league numbers. These are national numbers. Scoring, number one in the nation, 49.5 points per game. I always round up, by the way, on my stats. So that 0.5 becomes 50. Just call it 50. Rushing offense, 7th in the nation, 261 per game. Excuse me, I had to cough. 11th in the nation in passing offense, 315. Total offense, number one. They average 576. Oh, by the way, when they do make you punt it, they're 9th in the nation. They average 17 yards per punt return, which is unbelievable. Passing efficiency, number two. First downs, number four. Third down conversions, number four. Red zone offense, 92% of the time, eighth in the country.
And West Virginia's red zone defense is not good.
West Virginia's red zone defense is 101 in the nation.
Luckily, theirs is worse.
Yeah, they are bad. We'll get to their defense in a minute. Can I give you another number that wouldn't stand out? But as I was going over stats, I thought it just stood out to me. You know, I mean, you know how many times they've punted in 11 games?
26.
26 times. That's all.
That's amazing.
26
less than
times.
Less than three a game. Less than three a game.
So what's the formula from West Virginia's defensive side? The formula is, you can go back and pull the tape from the Oklahoma State game and just insert it right here if you want, because the formula is the exact same there as what we said about Oklahoma State. Their offense was so high-powered. They could run it. They could throw it. Different skill personnel, but they did the same things. You need some stops in some form or fashion. You need some turnovers. Guess what? You got them. And still couldn't complete the deal. I think that's what gets scary here is the same exact formula exists this week as it did last week. Oklahoma State quarterback killed you with the run. They ran for 266 yards. You did get turnovers, but the offense was really good. It just wasn't perfect. And I'm afraid for West Virginia's sake, that's what this game is going to have to be as well. You got to force Murray into some turnovers. They're not good in turnover margin. They're actually negative. They're down
minus
in the bottom quarter of the nation in that. So you can maybe get some turnovers, but then you're going to be back on the offense. The offense will have to be near perfect.
Got to remember this, though. You say they're not good collectively as a team, but the kid's only thrown six interceptions, right? This is their 12th game, and he's only thrown six. So he averages less than one a game. It's not like you could say, well, you're going to get two.
Chances are you're not. Right. But they do give it back to you, and they're not forcing very many. But again, you won the turnover battle last week 4-1 and couldn't walk away with a victory.
Why? Red zone. Couldn't get in.
Couldn't get in. Here's a couple other offensive stats, and then I know we kind of belabor the point, but it is amazing. Oklahoma State is number two in the country behind Oklahoma State in long plays from scrimmage. They have 233 plays of 10 yards or more. They have 86 plays of 20 yards or more. They have 48 plays of 30 yards or more. They have 27 of 40 yards or more. Think about that.
Well, and go further. There's only two teams nationally that have more plays of 50 yards than they do. And there's only one team that has more pass plays of 60-plus yards than they do. So they big play you as well, which that's a whole other discussion. If there's time to get into it about style of play and strategy, do you score quickly? Do you not? Do you have to bleed clock? There's a lot of tentacles here, Tony.
So with that being said, let's walk through here, boys, now. Since game five, they had their closest call. Obviously, they lost to Texas. But prior to that, they had a close call against Army. 28-21. And Army just possessed the ball. They did something that West Virginia is not designed to do. Army is designed to keep the ball away from opposing teams. That's their secret sauce.
Had a 13-minute possession in that game.
Yeah, they did.
Well, West Virginia's running the triple option this week.
Right, and they had 28-21. Yeah, Hoppy's kidding about that. There was another joke this week. Dana Holgorsen at the podium, by the way, during his Tuesday press conference, said that all of the all of his buddies from Oklahoma on the staff, Lincoln Riley and Bill Biedma, they're all coming to his house for dinner. He was joking. There are some that thought it was true.
I just read the script. I'm admitting I just read the script. I thought he was serious.
Being funny guy. Anyway, so since that Army game,
I was outraged, by the way. I'm glad you sent me. Yeah. What are you talking about? You can't have dinner with the guy before the game.
They're not. So here's what they've done. They put 66 up against Baylor. They put 45 up in a loss to Texas. That was 48-45, if you need to remember. They put 52 up against TCU. 51 Kansas State. 51 Texas Tech. 48 Oklahoma State. 55 against Kansas. So where's that number going to be against West Virginia? I mean, if you just take a look at those numbers, you're going to say it's in the 40s. Just being fair, you're saying it's in the 40s based upon what they do. Now, they could certainly go out there and all of a sudden have just this horrendous night of nights, and you can, you know, but the trend says they're in the 40s.
Well, I think that if you're in the low 40s, I think Tony Gibson should be thrilled. I mean, I think you're debating here whether they can get in the 50s or mid-50s. Right. Again, 57.5 points a game against West Virginia each of the last 2 years. So West Virginia hasn't been able to solve them with Baker Mayfield at quarterback, let alone a guy that's able to add running into that mix. So I think 40s, if it's low 40s, you got a heck of a shot here.
Okay, so now let's jump it over onto the other side. For as unbelievable that Oklahoma's offense is, defensively is one of the great stories as to why they're not better on defense. They come in defensively, and they are allowing 31 points per game. That's 86th in the country. They're 64th in the nation, giving up 162 rushing yards per game. Total defense, 87th. They're allowing 426 per game. West Virginia, if you want to have a point of comparison, West Virginia is giving up 380, and these guys are giving up 426. West Virginia is 55, and Oklahoma is 87. All right, so just throw it all out there then. How do you win? If you're West Virginia, strategically, right, what is the plan?
Well, you're right. I mean, the defense, it's amazing because the defense is terrible. I mean, they're 123rd in allowing long pass plays, so that plays right into West Virginia. I guess you try to possess the ball some on offense, you know, try not to give them that many opportunities. Make sure you're better in the red zone than you were the previous week, and then try to get a couple stops on the other side and try to get some, you know, a special teams play or a turnover, something like that.
Yeah,
Because I don't think if it's just a scoring machine, your scoring versus their scoring, and all other things are equal, I don't think you keep up.
But it might have to be that and then get a stop or two, and it just comes down to simply that. You hold them to a field goal versus a touchdown. You get one turnover versus none. There's tremendous pressure here on this West Virginia offense, I think. And part of the debate comes in, Tony, you just went through the slowing it down works against them. It's about the only thing that's worked. Well, certainly West Virginia is not going to come out and just totally slow it down because of what you said. They're one of the worst in the country giving up big passes. Plays, West Virginia one of the best, fifth in the country at hitting pass plays of 30 or more yards. So you can't totally change what you're doing if you're West Virginia just to try and fit it in to something with them. You're almost going to have to just go, 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 and do it a little bit better than you did last week in Stillwater.
So do you? So we all know through 10 games that we've seen this team play, this is their 11th, they play best, West Virginia does, when they go fast. That's when they're at their best.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do it? Do you just say, the heck with it, we're going to try to outscore?
How do you not? How do you not do that? How do you try and change what you do offensively? Can you run it a little bit more? Maybe, but because so far, everything's worked against Oklahoma's defense. You can throw it against them and have success. You can run it against them and have success. So can you run it and start to see if that helps and if you're able to chew up yards and slow it down, quote, slow it down from that perspective? That's probably where you start. But at some point, I think this is just going to have to be put up. You're going to have to score a bunch of points.
Puka Williams ran for 250, okay? So I don't think West Virginia's got a Puka Williams, but can you get 200 yards on the ground?
Oh, hell yeah.
Can you rush for 220?
I think you better get 300.
I mean, 300?
Tavon Austin called me. He said he's going to be here, and he's putting on the jersey. I mean, it is mind-boggling that they have struggled defensively over the years since West Virginia's been in the league. They've had some – I mean, there have been average defenses, but these guys, when they go bad, they're, like, horrendously bad. I mean, no one will ever forget the Tavon Austin night. It was just absolute free reign. Yeah, Hoppy, I think like West Virginia almost had 200 against Oklahoma State. I agree with Brad. I think you got to be way over 200. That would allow you to be possessing the ball and obviously you'd be productive. And I think this, red zone wise, I'd be shocked if you don't have to be 100%.
That's what I'm saying.
At a minimum, 100%. And touchdowns, 100% minimum in the red zone, and your touchdown to field goal rate needs to be about 90% touchdown.
That might be low. I mean, their opponent, Oklahoma's opponent touchdown percentage in the red zone is like 85%.
It's worse than that. I think it's 97.
It's last in the Big 12.
Red zone defense, they're 126, a 97%.
Yeah, that's total points, though. I'm saying just touchdowns.
No, red zone. Oh, I'm talking. Okay.
Yeah, you're
okay,
talking total points. Defense, I'm talking red zone touchdown percentage is in the mid-80s. So it's, yeah, you've got to do that. Again, guys, I don't know that the formula is a whole lot different than what you saw last week. The challenge just are you're making the offense be perfect and you're facing a better offense on the other side than you did last week. But West Virginia had the formula last week, did it not? It was right there and had the formula.
Stop playing.
It just couldn't get the win. It couldn't convert in the red zone. It couldn't stop the run late. But that's what cost you the game.
But look at Oklahoma does. They're eighth in the country in red zone offense. 52 trips, 48 scores. That's field goals and touchdowns. West Virginia's red zone defense, 102nd. In 34 trips, they've allowed 30 scores. So it's a mismatch when Oklahoma gets to the red zone.
I think another key to this game is Billy Kinney, West Virginia's punter, in his last game here in Morgantown. He needs to become a spectator. He needs to have a jacket on the entire game.
I was going to say, don't punt.
You don't want him to punt, right? I mean, because I just said they average almost 20 on a punt return. You just kind of go like, go for it. Does Dana Holgorsen, does he say, all right, you thought you saw something in Monday Night Football? You thought that was okay? Here we go. Balls to the wall. We're going.
Okay.
Do you go for it on fourth down? Do you go for two-point conversions at times when you would normally kick the extra point?
Yes.
I mean, okay, I think okay, all so, that's on the table. I
okay,
really do.
So let's say it's 21-14 in the first 6 minutes of this game. And West Virginia has third and four on their own 46.
Go.
Do you go?
Fourth and four, you mean?
Third and fourth.
Fourth and four?
Fourth and four. Fourth and four on their own 46. And it's clear early you can't stop them. Do you go? Do you go for it?
What's a quarter? Second quarter? First quarter.
Make up a time.
Third quarter, you're going for it. First half, I don't know if you're going for it.
Depends on how it looks. I mean, he made that decision pretty early last week that, all right, we got problems here. We're just going to go. So that wouldn't totally stun me if you're into the second quarter in this and they're running amok, but you're scoring with them, that you just say, okay, I got to do something to break the cycle here. I got to do something to make this different. Either go on fourth, get a two-point conversion, try and get a little separation.
You ever think about that? I know there's one high school coach always goes for it on fourth down, but if you think about it, like, you have four downs instead of thinking three and punt. Like, you got four downs. Can you get it in four downs? I mean,
well, here's the deal, man. So
because if you don't get it, the game over.
Yeah, so what's Dana's number one responsibility? What's his number one responsibility every time they go out?
Win the game.
Win the game. So if he says, the best opportunity we had, or perhaps the only opportunity we had to win the game, is to constantly go for it, to score as many points as possible. I know that goes against the book of football, but my job today was to do the best, put my kids in the best possible position to win the game. And it would be malfeasance on my part if I didn't do it. That's why I did it.
I actually think that's, unless it's some crazy circumstance, I actually think that's a defensible position when you're up against that offensive team. And what are you trying to do? Like, so you're trying to win the game. You're trying to, and if it's just an even matchup, again, as I said earlier, then I don't see how you win that. You got to do something different to win the game.
Well, you do, because again, I'll go back to what we've been saying here. If you just sit back and look at what Oklahoma's offense has been able to do against West Virginia the last 2 years in terms of scoring points, and then add in what you've most recently seen out of West Virginia's defense last week against an offense that's very, very good, but not at this level either. What could you do to help the defense out? What's going to be different about this West Virginia defense that you think is able to slow down Oklahoma? I don't know that there's anything, right?
No. Tony Gibson said it during his press conference this week. They said, what about the injury? He said, same as last week. Is what it is.
So the same guys are going in and the same schemes going in against a better offense. So then that falls back on the offense to try and find a way to score more points.
He also said he was questioned, what do you do to stop Oklahoma? And he said, you can't. To which you reply, game over, man. You can't stop them.
But you know what? And so here, everyone knows this. There are things that are said.
Yeah,
there are things that are said at the podium, and then there are things internally that are said. And in talking to those guys and being around there yesterday off the microphones, they're like, dude, let's go. There's no one that's afraid. There's no one that's afraid.
No,
they're ready to go like, okay,
The offensive guys, that should be very, very true. The defensive guys, that they should be worried. The defensive guys have a tough time here.
The defensive guys are saying prayers that the offensive guys have the greatest game of their
life. Correct. That's what it comes down to. And then all you're asking your defense to do, all at that point. If the offense is near perfect, then all you're asking is you're going to get in a third and six situation. Someone go get Murray on the ground or force a bad pass. You're going to get a chance that a ball's tipped and you're going to get a pickoff. You're going to get a fumble somewhere. Then those things become huge and the game switches and hinges on those couple of moments. Now you're asking your defense for three or four moments throughout the game, not 12, because I don't know that they can give you 12 in this particular case, but get three or four and then the offense go win it. That's the formula.
Is this game, West Virginia and Oklahoma, is this Oklahoma and Texas Tech from a few weeks ago?
It's hard to see how it can't be. I don't know what would make it not look like that, where they're going up and down the field. I don't know what would have changed from what you've seen from West Virginia's defense and Oklahoma's defense the last few weeks. What would make it not like that?
Nothing.
No, nothing. But
it'd be a huge surprise, would it not? I mean, the over-under here is 84. And I don't know that they'll get any under money at all on that. What would make it come under that number and turn into 37-34?
22-mile-an-hour winds, which isn't going to happen.
Which isn't going to happen.
The weather's going to be perfect.
So is this the biggest game in Dana Holgorsen's career?
As we've stated to you over the last two
bigger
weeks.
Bigger than last week's game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the answer goes,
biggest game in the world.
Because why?
At the time it was.
Because why? Because if you win, you just beat a kid that might win the Heisman. You just beat one of the great offenses in the history of college football, and you just punched your ticket to go to the Big 12 Conference Championship and have a chance to win the Big 12 Conference.
And beat a program that you have not beaten since joining the league. So, yeah, I think it's unquestionably
yes.
the biggest.
You know that Oklahoma has not lost a November game since 2014?
Man, are they due.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. They're unbelievable.
Well, they haven't lost a true road game, what? They've won 19 straight true road games?
Lincoln Riley's 22-3. Pretty good.
And one of the losses was in the college football playoff.
Yeah. And they had the game, right? And they had the game, and then they kind of crumbled because of their defense.
Well, yeah, Bob Stoops did not leave the cupboard bare.
No.
His
son, by the way, is a walk-on on the team. Did you know that? His son plays out.
Yeah, he does.
He's been out there a little bit. So
This would be a massive, monumental win. And I might revive my Greer for Heisman campaign if he wins this.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and I'm being serious.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm being serious because I was ready to award it to him had that last touchdown been thrown against Oklahoma State and start to make the argument of more valuable versus best.
So, well, you know what he's capable
this,
of.
Look,
everybody's, it's a national game. It's a high-profile game. And you know what he is capable of. And if he has one of those games, which is not, I mean, that he is capable of, sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. And a win in this situation?
Yeah. And it would help.
So put that on the line, too, along with everything else. Will Greer's Heisman campaign, not dead.
Put this on the line as well as far as Will Greer goes. The kid's only played her 2 years, right? 2 years. He is second all-time in school history in touchdown passes with 65. Stop, wait a second. He played 2 years.
Correct.
And he missed the last three games last year, Texas, Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
And then the bowl game.
Correct.
And he's got 65 career TD passes, second all time. He's fourth all time in school history in passing yardage. What if you want to play the big what if game, what if he came here as a freshman? He would have absolutely
obliterated things,
obliterated the record books. It would have been at a different level.
Here's a weirder stat, maybe. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he sets the single season touchdown passing mark this season. He's got to have two big games. But if you get to the Big 12 title game and you get three games, he almost certainly does. That's without the NC State game this year. That's the kind of year he's having. He's closing in on a Geno Smith single season touchdown record, and he missed a game.
Ranks number three in the NCAA in pass efficiency. Multiple touchdown passes in 18 of his 20 games. Over 300 yards passing in 17 of his 20 games. Five touchdowns, a school best five times. He's thrown five touchdown passes in five different games. So he's going to be playing his last game. David Sills, an amazing story, right? The converted quarterback, his last game. Gary Jennings, the last game among, I think, 17. is what they're listing as the number of seniors on this
we
team.
Probably didn't spend enough time. I've always said this is one of my very favorite days, all those years working in athletics and being around it. I think senior day is really neat, really special. Then you get a group like these guys here. That is a neat moment coming up on Saturday. To close that with a win would be a fantastic capper for this group.
And if they do, it's one of those moments. I mean, if West Virginia manages to win, even if they would lose in the Big 12 title game, you would still say that would rank up there pretty quickly in one of the greatest wins in Mountaineer football history because of who you're playing, the environment, what's at stake, and the fact that you hadn't beaten them previously in the league.
Yeah. All right. So what more do you want? I mean, great. It would have been great to already have your punched ticket for the Big 12 championship. It's not going to work that way.
Well, you want to go play, win the game.
Well, yeah, high drama. What do you think?
You have to play in one way or another.
Can West Virginia get to 60?
Can it? Yeah.
Could get to 60.
Could it? Yeah. Yes.
So do you think on Saturday morning, on the national programs, ESPN, game day, that whole thing, do you think the storyline is, hey, folks, on Monday night, we all talked about the highest scoring NFL Monday night game ever. Did you see last night in Morgantown?
I don't know how it's not. I know that a lot of times when you go all in on a narrative like this, it swings the other way. I just don't know how that presents itself. It's got to be that. And also, you want to continue the parallels with that. And everybody said such a great game, but they kill the Big 12 when their game's like that. They talked about Mahomes and Goff ad nauseum, the two great quarterbacks. I think that could be a narrative as well coming out of this. Is I think you're looking at two of the guys that are going to get invited to New York for the Heisman finalist ceremony. Which one of them can out-duel the other in this moment? I don't know that it gets either one the trophy, but I think you can build a heck of a case for either of them if the game goes that way and whoever gets the win this weekend.
Yep, I totally agree with you. All right, that'll do it for us. Don't forget, if you're going to the game, stop by at Fine Looking Phil's. Tell them you listen to Three Guys Before the Game. That's Daniel's Menswear, University Avenue. You'll get 30% off all their WV apparel, stuff like this. That's not just a super old sweater. That's a brand new sweater. It's retro. It's the old WV logo,
so
but it's a brand
new.
You can get that at Phil's. You get the new logo. Phil just has just whatever. You can get anything at 30% off. Just walk in and say, I listen. By the way, we talked about last show, right? 26 different, we had representatives.
26 different states.
26 different states, three different countries all played along in our game. So we'll be back on Monday to talk about it. And on Monday's podcast, we might be talking about West Virginia getting ready to go to Texas to play the Big 12 championship game. We hope that we are. All right. Dwani, hit the music. There he is. We're out. Thanks for being with us. Have yourself a wonderful Thanksgiving. Share the word about Three Guys Before the Game. Subscribe to it. Spread the word. Tell people when you're eating your Thanksgiving meal, hey, do you listen to Three Guys Before the Game? You should. We're out. See y'all. You can't.